Heavenly Father, we just worship you. We come here deliberately, just like Sarah said, Stevie said it. It just seems to be flowing through today, that we made a deliberate choice to come here to worship you today. And so, Father, we ask for your presence. Please lift away every spirit of heaviness and cover us with a spirit of joy today in the name of Jesus. Father, we just worship you, Lord. Take all the glory today. Anything that will stop you from hearing us or being here today, please, in your mercy, forgive us. Fill this auditorium with your presence as your people worship you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I would like us to do something that Stevie just done for me there. We clapped for me, but there's a greater presence here, and that is God Almighty. Let's give a roaring ovation for Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't God good? He is good all the time. I'll read us some Bible verse from Psalm 19. And it says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down the precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that the ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I will not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart. As I learn your righteous laws, I obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Amen. Today, I want us to look at this topic on the board there, living a purposeful life. What is your life's purpose? That's a deep, big, huge question, which I can't stand here and pretend I'll be able to discuss it all and for us to all to understand it. But of course, knowing that it's not my job to do it, but the job of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to make an attempt at it, and probably the Spirit of God will kindle the light and we'll take it from there. But yes, we need to live a purposeful life. And then we need to find out what our life's purposes are. Purpose is a general term referring to reason for which something exists. Reason for which something is done or made. Reason for what something is used for. It is the intention behind the action, the goal, or the aim that someone strives to achieve. Purpose gives direction to life, providing a sense of meaning and fulfillment. It can refer in general sense to our well-being, things we love doing, things we enjoy doing, a particular task or activity that makes you to feel like you. Having a sense of purpose is often associated with a deeper satisfaction inside, a contentment in life. It gives an individual a sense of direction, something to work towards. People find various aspects of their life, such as personal relationships, career, whatever we pursue, something that works us, that wakes us, that makes us. Ultimately, the meaning of purpose can vary from each and every one of us. What I love to do, what is my purpose, may not be yours. But then, I want to announce to us that our lives are not an accident. We do not just happen by a chance of a big bang and boom, you're there. Our lives are not waiting for us to begin to discover its meaning. It already has a meaning ascribed to it. Our lives are meticulously crafted masterpiece by God. So I will ask you, beg you, not to treat your life with recklessness or anything of sort. Because your life is made with a purpose. And it is your job to begin to delve into the purpose for which you are created. There's a wise man sitting across from me here. He says, if you aim for nothing, what do you get? Absolutely nothing. I'm talking about you, Pastor Steven. So if you take your life to mean nothing, it becomes purposeless. It becomes a wasted existence. But of course, the way God made us, we want to have a reason for existence. We want to have a purpose to everything we do. If we take a step, there is a reason behind taking that step. You feel like you want to ease yourself, you head towards the toilet. You feel like you want to eat, you look for somewhere, a restaurant or something to go and eat. There's always a purpose. Every action, there's a reaction that follows it. So there is a purpose in everything we do. But are we harnessing the right purposes or are we just laid back about it? So I would say our purpose is not a random occurrence. It is a deliberate choice made by the creator of the universe, God, our God. As we explore the Bible together this morning, let us try and understand and embrace our purpose with unwavering faith. That's from Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God knew you not after you were born. God knew you not just now. Before you were even formed. It means before whatever happened before you came into existence, God already knew about you. There's a guy called Dr. Miles Monroe. He speaks about the five questions of life. He talks about question of identity. We always want to know who we are, what we are up to, what makes us us. Name, the structure of your face, the character you put on. What is your identity? Who are you? I announce to you, you are a child of the Most High God. The next question he dealt with while I was preparing to speak today, I was looking at various materials, but this guy intrigued me. If you have time, just listen to him later on. He talks about heritage and source. And when he was talking about heritage and source, he was not talking about the if you're from Africa or Asia or wherever. He was talking about where we originate from as humans. We are not just made like the lions and the whatever, the fishes or in the sea or whatever. God took his time. Other being, he spoke and they existed. But in our case, we were taken from the ground, molded by God, by his hands. And when he has finished creating us, he did another thing that is serious. He breathed his own breath into us, and man became a living soul. So you have a God essence in you. And then the next question he dealt with, which is what we will consider further on today, is purpose. God didn't just make us and throw and say, hey, there you go, Adam. Run after the animals, kill them, eat them, and hey-ho. End of story. No. There is a reason for the creation of man. If you notice, everybody that creates something, at the end of it, they put a logo, a stamp, or something on it. And he says, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Does that tell you something about your purpose here? This guy also talks about potentials. What do we have? What are we able to do? How do we go about doing what we can do? What skill sets do we have? What has God imbibed in you? Are you utilizing it? Or have you held on to your God-given gifts and refused to do anything with it and sit on it and kill it? And the final question this guy dealt with was destiny. Does it all end here when we're dead and buried? Or is there more to life than it? We plant a seed and it grows and it yields forth. And the seeds yield seeds. And God made you in his image and you think your life is just nothing? No, it's no. You are an eternal being created by God in his own image, given the purpose to be with him, to worship him, to enjoy his presence, to be filled with his spirit, to yada with him, hallelujah, fellowshipping. We have a purpose, brethren. I like telling stories. And today I'm going to tell us a story about this guy called Paul. He's a champion of faith. There are lots of them in the Bible. One of them bears my name, Samson. Others, Stevie, and so on and so forth. But today, we are going to talk about this guy, Paul. Apostle Paul is one that, I think, fulfilled his purpose today later. This guy was, I don't know if he's previously, but I tried to find out at what point did his name change from Paul to Saul, but there seems to be a consensus that he had both names together. And eventually when he became the Apostle Paul that we knew today, they stopped using the Saul more and took on using the Paul more. But there's no clear distinction as to why one name was preferred over the other. This guy is from Tarsus, somewhere close to Ephesus in Turkey. And he practically preached in this area. In those days, this area was under the Roman control, and it kept going. And Paul was on a mission to bring down the Christians of that time. He's equivalent of a lawyer of these days. He's well brought up in knowledge, in reading the law, interpreting the law, wanting the Christians to go behind because they are speaking heresy and bringing down chaos within the society. This guy essentially has the goodness in him to try to keep a society from going into chaos, from disintegrating, from the law breaking down. So he felt he was doing a service to his community then, chasing the Christians and annihilating them practically. But then the story changed. While he was on his horseback, riding, galloping away with his group of soldiers going to persecute Christians, the light of God hit him. Boom. And he tumbled from his horse, landed on the ground. And he heard this voice, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Without a question of doubt, he knows it's a Lord that is speaking to him. He says, who are you, Lord? The The voice replied to him. He says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Do we pray today that even when we think we are doing what we are doing, that if it is not the purpose of God in our lives, that God can take us and put us in the right place so that we fulfill our purpose, our destiny? So Saul's companions gathered him up, took him up, and took him to Damascus. And then at the same time, the Spirit of God does not fight itself. It was revealing to an old man, Ananias, that there is a guy called Paul who have been taken to Damascus. You go there. Right now, this guy is blinded because I blinded him. He will not see. When you go there, lay your hand on his eyes and the scales will fall off. And that will reinforce his faith. Ananias obeyed, went to Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Paul, the Lord Jesus said, who has appeared to you on your road as you are coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He laid his hand on him. The scales fell off, physical scales fell off from his eyes. He saw again. And from that point on, Saul went on to be a champion for Jesus. He changed 360 degrees, no, 180, I think. Yes. Directly opposite from where he was going. And then U-turn. He became a champion for Christ. He spoke more. He was fearless. He was bold. He was not bothered by any circumstances he went through. He stood firm for what he believed in. Hallelujah. So back from the exotic story of Paul, Saul, this guy who is a big champion here, he wrote quite a number of books in the Bible that are useful today. His kind of faith was phenomenal. He was in-depth. And because he was a lawyer, when he's reading something, he takes in the full meaning. He knows the law of the prophets, and he brings that on board with his knowledge, the Holy Spirit filling him, and then he started writing letters to the various churches within the area where he operated, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossus, the whole lot of them. He was constantly in different churches speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each one of us has been intricately designed by our Creator with a unique purpose in mind. Jeremiah reminds us, for I have the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a purpose for each and every one of us today. Affirming your identity. You're uniquely designed by God. That tells the whole story about you. This is taken from Psalm 139. It says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that fully well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Does that tell you anything about yourself? God created you. He created you right from the start. He knew you. Even before any of these days came to be, he has already, the stories of what you will do has already been written out. you have to embrace and use your God-given talent. God has endowed you with abilities. Each one of us is bestowed with unique gifts. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, there are different kinds of gifts, but by the same Spirit given them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So because I can stand at the door and welcome people happily does not mean that's what you have to do. Because Stevie stands here and speaks eloquently does not mean I have to be that. Because you can help people on the street and take care of them does not mean you have to be the same. So we all have different giving talents by God. Are you allowing yourself to use them, or have you hidden them in the box and you are too afraid to go out and do what you can do? Some of us can actually go from door to door and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people what God has done for them, how his love exists for them. You don't have to be a preacher or to be versed in the Bible to be who God has made you to be. Look deep into you. The master craftsman has something he has left in you. You don't have to be public. You can do anything you want to do, even in the secret. But the essence of man is good because God is good. And that in that goodness, he has put some skills deposit in you. You have to utilize it. Amen. We have to understand God's purpose for our lives. What is your why? Is my question. Why are you here? That verse reads, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I would say as Christians, the best thing we can do to start practicing our faith is to love ourselves to start with, after loving God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Do as you will be done by. What you don't want others to do to you, don't do to others. Is the basic human law that is entrenched in our faith. And that is the beginning of fulfilling your purpose. Gratitude is another thing that is important for us as Christians. In every situation, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you. A thankful heart is never angry. A thankful heart is never bad. A thankful heart is at the place where it is happy and it is receiving and returning glory to his creator. In that place, you don't have a place for sadness. You only begin to receive. Imagine those of you who have children, the child that always comes and tell you thank you. How difficult it is to release your hand in whatever he needs. No, because all the time you feel good to do good to them. In like manner, our God wants to hear us giving him thanks for every gift he has given to us. Our breath, our children, the things that surround us, things that we enjoy, water that we drink, just keep pouring thanks to God. If you have loads of tongue, constantly mouth it away to God. He loves to hear you give him thanks. And in thanksgiving, you receive. Pursuing righteousness and justice. Our righteousness is not our making. It's by his strength. So in pursuing the will of God, you need to trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your understanding. Acknowledge him and he will make your straight path. It doesn't say you will make your straight path. It says he will make your straight path. When you have God in you, when you allow God in you, then you start doing things that are in line with his steps. Spreading the message of God's love and living a life with compassion. That is the crux of the job that Jesus has given us. He said, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is a job Jesus gave to us before he left. As Christians, we cannot shut up. We cannot hide away. We cannot refuse to show people who we are. We have to let the world know that we are children of God Most High. We are Christians, and we will speak the gospel of faith, the gospel of peace, the gospel of love, the gospel of joy, the gospel that takes away every sorrow and fills us with peace that surpasses all understanding. And then we have to allow ourselves to find fulfillment in God's unconditional love. Because God's love does not base on any condition. It doesn't matter what family you come from or what race you belong to or how you came to be where you are. God loves you. And now here is the conclusion of all things. Fear God and keep his commands. This is the duty of mankind. So if you struggle to find your purpose, this is the conclusion of it. Fear God and keep his commandment. That is your duty. Hallelujah. So, find your gift, share your gift. That is your life's purpose. Simply, you forget anything I've spoken about today. Remember this. Find your gift. Share your gift. That is your life's purpose fulfilled. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Sams. Words that we need to take to heart. It's the practical application of what we talk about, what we believe, what we sing about, and hopefully what we practice week by week. And I just pray that we put these things into practice. Aurelia, I just wanted to encourage you today. See, when we were worshiping, you were in the corner of my eye. I didn't look up and look at you intentionally. And I don't mean to embarrass you, but I just had a sense that God has a purpose for you. God has his hand upon you. God sees your faithfulness. And I just have the sense that God wants to take you to something deeper, higher with him. And your dad's talking about purpose. And really, I think it's about finding your purpose in God, finding your unique fit. And I think God's going to show you that just in the days that lie ahead. And just to be encouraged by that and to keep going. You've had your challenges in life. But God has his hand upon you, and so be encouraged by that. It's good to be in God's house. Good to hear what God is saying to us. I don't know about you, I don't want to be anywhere else on a Sunday morning. I had planned to sort of take a week off this week, but ended up with a week off. sorry for irritating everyone with my cough. It's good to be in God's house, good to hear God's word, good to worship God together. And we need to press into the things that God has for us. We need to find his purpose for our lives, and we need to press into that purpose, because nothing else will fulfill us other than the purposes of God in our lives. Fear God and keep his commandments. Father, we pray today, help us to learn how to fear you and to fulfill your commandments for our lives. Father, your word says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And Father, my heart's prayer is that you fill our hearts with wisdom. Father, that you fill our hearts with your purpose. Lord, that we find that expression in our everyday life. Lord, it's not just about what we do when we come together as church. It's what we do when we go out into the workplace, into our schools, into our colleges, our universities, into our families, our streets, our neighbourhoods, into the shops that we go into week by week. Lord, help us to hear your voice and to fulfil your purpose in all the different places where you take us. And Lord, we ask that we would know your presence, know your hand upon us this week as we go out as church. Father, to live as the church out there in the communities that we represent, the places where we will go. And Father, we pray, help us to hear your voice and to be obedient to what you say. Lord, lead us into your purposes for each one of us. And Lord, I was just struck by that verse that Sam's shared again this morning, in everything give thanks. And Lord, I just want to pray for those who are really struggling just now, those who need a touch in their bodies. Lord, families, church families who are struggling, others who are struggling. Father, may we find a way in the circumstances to give thanks to you. Lord, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Father, help us to find ways to be joyous, to rejoice in the hard things and the challenging things. And Lord, help us to move into your purposes for each one of us. So Lord, bless us as we go. Father, bless us as we fellowship over tea and coffee. And Lord, we just ask that your hand would remain upon us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Please stay for tea and coffee and for fellowship. Don't rush away. And let's just enjoy each other's company.